Denny's going to share the word this morning. That's so appropriate with us going into a new year. He's written a devotional that's a year-long devotional. This is a great time for us to think in terms of our devotional life as we go into 2016. I am absolutely elated about the year 2016. I am just convinced that God has planned something awesome for you and you and you and you and you and us together. So I'm going to pray over our dear brother here, and I want you to open your heart, and let's just believe the Lord that he's going to speak to us through Denny today. Father, I thank you for Pastor Denny. I thank you, Lord, for a man after your own heart. I thank you for a faithful man. I thank you that you count him faithful, that you have established his goings. I thank you for a man who has hidden your word in his heart and allowed that word to shape his thinking and allowed us to get the benefit of what you've deposited in him. Now release that word today, Lord, as Pastor Denny shares. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit flow through him and let that word be spirit and life unto us in Jesus' name.
Very good. God's good. Amen. Well, I want to thank Pastor Richard for giving me this opportunity. I always count it a blessing to be able to share the word and what he is speaking to me. And I really want today to be a time where I offer up this book to the Lord. You know, we can do a lot of things, but it needs to have the blessing of God on it. And I want God to accomplish all of his purposes with that book. So I've written a book, and you know that. But where it began was an exercise in hearing the Lord on a daily basis, hearing from his word by his spirit in my secret place on a daily basis. And so it became a book, but that's only because there were 366 daily collection of writing of those. And I guess you all probably know why I wrote 366 and not 365. Leap year. Exactly. And I don't know that I've ever seen one that considered that. But we have some friends, their birthday's on February 29th. And I thought, you know what? How appropriate it would be. I mean, you don't want to miss your day. So I thought it would be only appropriate to do that. Really, what the book does, it serves to take you into my devotional life with the Lord every day. You're going to get to peek into what the Lord was sharing on my heart or giving to me. So it's not a new thing. I've been reading the one-year Bible for a lot of years. Matter of fact, I've been reading this Bible for decades, plural. It looks like it. This is it right here. I think everybody should have a one-year Bible. It works for me. I know that you can read more. I encourage you to do that. It's important that you do. But this is a great habit to get into. While I was a pastor, I would preach through the Bible. I did that 3 times, where I preached through the Bible using the one-year Bible. If they didn't have one already, and I encourage you to get one, I would just post in the bulletin every week what you need to read, and then I would preach from something you read that week. And I always would set them up. I'd always ask them questions. I'd always say, there's 3 questions, remember that? I'd ask, and if you read the passages, they were easy answers. But if you didn't, that's when I got the deer in the headlight look. You know, it's like, uh-oh, I hope he doesn't call on me, you know, kind of thing. And so I would ask 3 questions, and then I'd have a bonus question. And it was a little harder, but I always wanted to make it fun. I wanted people to catch the vision of getting in the Word every day, every day, every day. And so I just thought that would be a great way to include people and to encourage them and to get them started, because you need to make it a habit. So the idea of the one-year Bible is not new, but the writing aspect, frankly, was new. And when I stopped pastoring, I still needed an outlet, so I just started writing every day. When I would go to my room, and my secret place is in my room, early in the morning, I would just open up, and whatever the Lord was sharing with me, I would just stay there, and I'd meditate on it, and I'd go a little deeper, or I'd cross-reference, or I'd make sure I had the context right, or whatever. I would just dig enough to where I felt like I had a better grip or a better handle on what the Lord was saying to me. And I think that's what the Lord would have us do with our quiet time with Him. So The motivation for writing this collection of devotionals is very simple, and that is simply we've got to get this word into our hearts and our minds. We've got to get it in there to where we can find out the counsel of God. Because the revelation of God's word is life-giving. You know, there's nothing like hearing the Lord speak to you or confirm to you something he's written in his word. And as I've said before, the format of the one-year Bible just works for me, and it's been a great thing for me. And to have a companion devotional just makes it easier to be steady. You know, you have something that goes with it. It's something that helps and complements what you're reading. Sadly, 85% of professing believers do not read the Bible on a daily basis. And I know that sounds shocking, but and I, you know, the thing is, we're familiar with the Word. We hear it every Sunday. We know that it's the truth. We know that we need it. We just don't do it. We rely on just a general knowledge of it. We rely on the pastor every Sunday, and we don't make it a habit. We don't put it into our daily routine. And that is my call to you today. That is my charge to you and my challenge to you today, to get this Bible into your spirit so that it's not someone else's word. It's God's word to you because the Spirit illuminated it to you. I was visiting my sister late in the summer, around the time when my dad passed away. And we were talking, I was telling her, I was sharing her with, you know, about the book and how it was coming and the struggles, you know, because there was a lot of time involved there where just legal things had to happen, you know, and I was just, you know, telling her about it. And she reminded me that she reads the one-year Bible because I told her to. She says, you got me started on this, and she reads it faithfully every year. So when it came time when the books did come out, she texted me. She said, I ordered 11 copies today for all my friends and my relatives and stuff. And I texted her back, said, you're my favorite sister. Of course, she's my only sister, but she knows that. And so I just really am grateful. You know, she gets it. She knows how important it is to get this word in you. Co-worker of mine, his name is John. We work together every day, and I bought him a one-year Bible this year. And I did that because I wanted to have something to talk about that was worthwhile talking about. You know, when you work with somebody for a long time, for hours on end, you want to have valuable conversation. You want to talk about something of substance. And he's a believer, but the one-year Bible was really what helped him get regular. And so I got him a one-year Bible, and now we start talking every day about what we've read that day. And so it's really been a blessing. And when the books came out, he had heard enough about the book. He bought 8 copies and gave it to all his family. And so he's getting it. You know, he's getting it. He really wants this to happen. So I'm excited about what God's going to do. And I'm going to just take the speaking guide. I'm going to read the introduction. I think this will be a good way to get us launched into the Word today. And I'm just going to read this to you. You might have read this already, but I thought this might be the best way to just give you my heart. If I'm going to buy a book, that's where I go. It's the introduction. And so you get a gist of what is going to be said through the book. So here we go. Every book has a pitch. Here's mine. I want you to know the joy of discovery when the Holy Spirit illuminates a truth to you and the light goes on. It's the aha moment. It's when the pages of Scripture come alive. Now they are more than words. They are life. My whole motivation for writing this devotional book is to share just a little bit of the daily joy I find in reading God's Word. I want to share with you the quiet thrill of discovery and revelation. When I set out to seek the Lord and explore what God would say, the Spirit of God unveils truth in a way that I am able to apprehend. My soul is truly satisfied when I get a glimpse of what is on His heart. There is delight in my spirit, and it triggers a thirst for more. That's what happens when you come honestly and earnestly before the Lord. God will pour out His Spirit upon you that will take you by surprise. You will be blessed beyond measure. The format of a one-year Bible has always worked well for me. I don't preach from it, except for today. But it is my most read everyday Bible. For me, I have to have a plan that actually works. Since I was a bivocational senior pastor for 13 years, I know all about the pressures of life that squeeze out personal time with the Lord. I understand that this is more common than we care to admit. Who has the time to read the Bible anyways? Yet for anyone who knows His voice, understands that one word from God is worth it all. It's His word to me that gives me confidence to walk out my faith boldly. 15 minutes is all it takes. This is workable in any schedule. The commitment of purposeful intention is rewarded in your desire to fellowship with God. There will always be an endless reservoir to draw from. In this format is an amount that you can eat and enjoy, and yet will keep you coming back for more. Sure, you can read on and go deeper. That is the nature of eating. You taste and see that the Lord is good, and you create an appetite and longing for more. The purpose of a regular diet is this, is to get the routine established. Get the flow of faithfulness going. There is a stability and health developed when I commit to an everyday diet. Also, a systematic approach to reading the Bible gets you into topics that you might not choose otherwise. There is balance and wisdom in that. I also understand that for me to become a disciple, I need discipline. I mean that I must embrace those things that are going to have long-term implications for health. I cultivate prayer. I create an environment for worship. I put the Word of God in front of me. I schedule it. I trip over it because I need it more than I know. My schedule for fellowship with God has to become non-negotiable. There will always be distractions to draw me away. There will always be fires to put out. But I dig my heels in. I resolve to be steady. For me, I have always enjoyed a good devotional alongside my Bible. Nothing replaces the Word. But God has raised up godly men and women that speak our language pretty well too. It has always been a pleasant addition to give me another perspective. I have been impacted by devotionals from Oswald Chambers, Mike Bickle, Neil Anderson, Les and Leslie Parrott, to acknowledge a few. I hope that your time in these pages will give you another perspective as well. They come from a pastor's heart. So the idea behind this devotional is simple. Read it alongside the Bible readings for each day listed at the top of each devotional. The topic of the day will be found in the pages you just read. Stay with it, and you will have read the Bible through this year, and you will have picked up a newfound appreciation for the voice of the Lord in your own life. A heartfelt prayer completes the reading that makes a personal application. Growing in the knowledge of the Lord is always the goal when we open the pages of His book, as it says in Ephesians 1:17, to know Him better. The revelation I receive is priceless. Sometimes all it takes is a look beneath the surface in order to gain a fuller perspective. I want for you to know this joy, that God is speaking to you. So that's the start. That's the lead-in and the enticement to read further. Now, there's just a couple things I'll mention, then we'll get into some passages. I found it interesting, just a couple things. One is the paradox that I found when I was pastoring, how I would invite people to church. And you know how that goes. So many times people have other things to do. And it just was a real struggle. That always wasn't a very successful thing, to persuade people to come to your church. Yet those same people will spend $25 without even thinking about it for a book he just wrote. I thought that was kind of funny. But I also realized that all the years of teaching and preaching prepared me to write. And it prepared me and positioned me to write. I think one of the surprises that I've found just at work is how many people actually bought my book. I had people that I would go up to and say, hey, did you know I wrote a book? And one guy just picked it out of my hand. He said, I want one. How much is it? And a lot of that kind of thing went along. And so far, I've sold 60 just at my workplace. Four of them from supervisors. And it showed me one thing, that the inroad that I have into their lives is because of my witness and my integrity. And that's all. If I don't have that, I have no right to flash something in front of them that they would purchase. But because of that, now I can be used by the Lord to speak this glorious gospel into their lives. And I'm grateful for that. And so my job as a pastor is not over. It's just a different congregation. And I see those people who have purchased a book and the ones that haven't. Those are my congregation. And those are the people that I will be there for and be available for. And so the Lord really highlighted that to me. So, alrighty. What I want to do is look at three passages briefly. So if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And if you're in the one-year Bible, it's July 29th. And I thought, today, it's a one-year Bible day. So, and these three passages will just really help us see the importance of the Word in our lives on a daily basis. But Romans 12, 1 and 2, these are just classic verses from Paul. And I'll just speak them because they're so full. Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Isn't that powerful? You know, when we offer the parts of our body to the Lord as instruments of righteousness, the Lord is pleased. It's called an act of worship. It's a holy thing to the Lord. So when you offer yourself in the morning, just give yourself all your body as instruments of righteousness, your mind, your heart, your motivations, your intentions, your agenda, everything you have, everything you are, just offer it to the Lord. Because when you do that, the Lord says he is pleased. He is pleased when you offer what you have to him. And I like that, and because that's going to come back in just a moment. Now, the most important aspect that we need to understand in the process that is called transformation is to renew our mind in the truth of God's word over and over and over and over. You don't get to a place where you got it licked. I'm still a student of the Word. I'm still learning. You know, there's never a place where you just say, okay, I got it. I can lay back on my laurels now. No. You're always going to be needing the Word. You always need to build on the foundation that you already have. And the thing is, what we are doing when we renew our mind in the Word is we're dislodging untruth, we're replacing lies, we're replacing ignorance with God's Word. And if you don't think that we're not influenced by the world, you're sadly mistaken. We catch stuff all the time. People at work, things on the radio, things on the TV, whatever. You're getting this constant influx of garbage, things that you have to filter. You filter it with your mind and the Word. If you're not filtering it, it's going in. And it's going to become a part of your mindset. It's going to become a part of your thought life. You're going to look at people or look at situations through that stuff that you've taken in. Okay, so it's really, really important. And what Paul is doing here is he's bringing to light the polar opposites of conforming and transforming. And let's just look at that for a second. Because conforming is what happens when you follow after the whims that society dictates. And you know that's true. Because it always changes. It fluctuates like crazy. It's volatile. It changes like the wind. And we've seen popular thought change, you know, almost overnight, it seems. A couple of good examples that we refer to quite often is abortion and homosexuality. There was a day, not that long ago, that these sins were unthinkable in our society. It wasn't even a question mark. But today, it's not only accepted, it's promoted. And if you don't agree, then you're considered weird because you're not buying into what everybody else is trying to influence you into. Conformity is caving into the standards of the pop culture around us. And you know, you don't have to do anything, really. You just have to listen to it. You just have to sit where you are with your television on and you'll catch it all. You'll catch it on the internet, you'll catch it wherever. Maybe it's your neighbor, but you'll catch it. You don't have to do anything. And you're going to find out. Just put your finger up see where the wind's going, and it's going to change because it's always changing. Transformation, on the other hand, is real change. It's real change, and it comes from the inside out because we get our thinking aligned with God's thoughts. We get our thinking in line with God's ways and His wisdom, and boy, do we need that. Hallelujah. Transformation only happens when we give our minds to the truth of the Word of God. Transformation only happens when we give our heads to the gospel. Hallelujah. Your mind is so important. Your thoughts and your head and your brain. It's the command center over all your thoughts and all your actions. And so we really, really need the truth of God's Word. Now, you can hear the gospel, and you can be saved, and you can have an initial breakthrough. And I say this because there are a lot of people in this place who get the initial breakthrough, and they went to the altar, and they said the prayer. But your life won't be any different until you're transformed by the Word of God. Because all that stuff has to be uprooted out of your mind. Those thoughts have to be replaced with the truth of God's Word. That's where transformation comes. It's the follow-through process. Transformation is the process of real change that comes by building on a bedrock of truth that comes from God's Word. So we have to dig our heels in. We have to be serious about the Word of God. We have to understand this is where it comes from. Illuminated by the Spirit of God, we need this Word more than we know. Salvation is the starting place, but too many never experience transformation. And I want transformation. Hallelujah. Number two. Let's go to number two. Get oil now. Go to Matthew 25. And that is February 7th. In my book, February 7th is a good day. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. And I want to just preface this by saying, Pastor Richard just spoke on this a few weeks ago. And he spoke this passage in regard to preparation for the times that we're going to be facing in the last days. And it was a very good word, and this just kind of follows up along the same line. Matthew 25, at that time, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the banquet, the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Just to finish that up, later the other ones also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. This is just such a powerful passage here, and I think it's so appropriate. You know, Jesus describes the 10 as all virgins, so we know that he's referring to them as believers. We know that. But there are 5 that are called foolish, and there are 5 who are called wise. What is the one distinguishing mark that separates the wise virgins and the foolish virgins? There's only one thing. And that's the wise ones had oil, and the foolish ones were running out. That's the only difference between wisdom and foolishness. And we know oil throughout Scripture is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And if you'd like to do a little study, I can throw some verses your way here real quick. 1 Samuel 16:13, 2 Kings 4:6, Matthew 26:7. I'll say them again. Psalm 23, verse 5. Psalm 45, verse 7. Psalm 133, verse 2. James 5:14. Isaiah 61:3. All of these refer to the oil as symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you that list again if you like that. 1 Samuel 16:13. 2 Kings 4, verse 6. Matthew 26:7. Psalm 23, verse 5, Psalm 45, verse 7, Psalm 133, verse 2, James 5:14, Isaiah 61:3. And it's very important because in these last days, it's imperative that we have a life in the Holy Spirit. We need a life in the Holy Spirit. But there are going to be those who are going to overlook or neglect this important necessity. And so this is the whole crux of the matter. We've got to have a life in the Holy Spirit. Now, when it comes crunch time, these same people are going to want what you have. They're going to desire what you have. They are going to want your oil. But you cannot give them your secret life in God. It has to be their own. It has to be their own. Now, they started out fine. Okay, they were on the right track. But they did not have any oil in reserve. They did not maintain their devotion. And without a life in the Holy Spirit, you will run out and you will burn out. When you run out of oil, you're going to be on your own. You're going to be working in the flesh. You're going to be doing all you can to muster up whatever. But you are not going to have a reservoir of the Holy Spirit to get you through in the hard times. And the times are going to get hard before they get better. So we need a life in the Holy Spirit. It's also important to know that a secret life in God is costly. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you devotion and hours before the Lord. But know that when it does come crunch time, you will have enough. You will have a reservoir to draw from. You will have the Holy Spirit to draw from. So my point here is to get oil now. Get oil now because it's not something to begin at a future time. You can't keep talking about a future time to prepare. You have to do it now. The time is now. So we have renew your mind, number one. Get oil now, number two. And thirdly, find your secret place. Find your secret place in Matthew 6:6. And that is January 7th. All right, Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I like the New King James Version. It says, close the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. I love that terminology. And I really am amazed that our devotion in the secret place matters that much to God. And we will be acknowledged by God for our devotion in the secret place. Did you realize that reward is granted for what no one else can see but God? You're not doing it for anybody else, but your time before Him. He says you're going to be rewarded for that. God is impressed by what you do in secret. Now, I think that's so highly important for us to grasp because there are a lot of people today that maybe they're past their years of fruitful, you know, work, and they don't think they have anything to offer the Lord. And here it says, our time in the secret place is going to be rewarded. That's important. To those people who are bedridden from disabilities, did you know that their devotion to the Lord is going to be rewarded? You might not have anything to give physically. God says you're going to be rewarded if you go to the secret place and you pray and you have a secret life in God. That blesses me. And it should bless every hearer who is past their prime or is unable to do great exploits for God. Because, you know, it's not about the great exploits. God says, I don't know you because I really don't know you. I want to know you, but you won't give me the time of day. He just wants us to come before Him and spend quality time with Him. Now, another verse I want to just throw out here is 1 Corinthians 4:5. This is just a compliment to what we read. Righteous thoughts and motives will be rewarded. Now, what we have to do is just make up our mind. We need to be diligent about this. We need to be very proactive and deliberate about going into your room. That's what we got to do first. Go into your room. Where is that room? For me, it's my office, and it's my desk, and it's early in the morning. And that's when I have my time with the Lord. But we have to have that deliberate act of our will that makes a place for fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We have to have that. It cannot be understated how important that is. And that secret place is prayer. It's worship. It's quiet. It's humming a psalm to Him. It's meditating on the Word. It's just reading. It might be weeping, but it's hearing His voice. That's all. It's your time with Him. Now, I think the difficult thing for me to do is the closing the door part to all the distractions. Because it's not just the cat scratching at the door or somebody ringing my phone. It's what's going on in my head that says, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you better not forget this. You know, because we're always thinking of stuff. When you sit down to read, it's always like those things come to your head. Oh, you forgot to make this order or whatever. You better hurry up, you got things to do. You know what I'm saying? And so you're going to have to negotiate these things. For me, it's just a pad of paper. And if the thought comes, I write it down, it's done. Okay? Because, you know, my mind's like your mind. It's disciplined sometimes and not always. You know what I'm saying? So work with it. Once we harness our minds into this kind of routine, we can get better at it. Okay? We know what this place is for, but you have to work with your limitations, right? So that's what I do. But you have to close the door on the distractions because they will interrupt your thoughts. They will intrude upon your quiet time. I know this holiday season brought that front and center with me. I just, you know, there were so many things to do and I was running out of time and you know the story. But what God wants to do is He really wants to nurture in you a steady faithfulness, a steadiness in your life of constantly going to the well every day. Every day, offering up your body as a living sacrifice. Every day, going to Him, saying, Lord, it's You and me. You and me alone. Let's go. It's hearing what He wants to say to you today. It's not tomorrow. This isn't about tomorrow. This isn't about your plans for your future. Lord, what would You say to me today? That's the question we need to ask every day. When we go before Him, we open His book. Lord, what would You say to me today? I believe by His Spirit, He will highlight things in His Word to you that are just going to blow your mind. I believe it. He does it to me all the time. You just have to remember that this Christian life is not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. And so we need to get into a marathon pace, and that's being steady. Going every day, meeting Him every day, and getting into that steady marathon pace. In closing, what I'm asking of you today is easier to commit to than to actually do. But I'm asking you to commit to the reading of this book for the next year. Whether it's a one-year Bible doesn't matter, but reading His Word does. Asking the Holy Spirit to help you and to guide you and to speak to you and to illuminate His Word to you, to reveal things you've never seen before, and to transform your mind, to transform these bodies into useful tools to advance His kingdom, tools that He can use. And I guarantee you, when you put the Word in your mind, you're so more apt to be used by the Lord to encourage others. Because the Word's on your mind, the Word's on your tongue. You're ready. You know, when the beautiful thing of it is when God gives you something, you want to give it away. You can't hold it in. You can't contain it and say, sorry. No, you have to give it away. That's the beautiful thing about the Word of God. Something so transforming. I dare you to try to contain it. You want to bless others with the same Word that blessed you. You will be off and running when the Word is on your tongue. Now, the most sure sign of health and vitality is an appetite. And that's the way I'm going to pray for you today, that the Lord will just give us all appetites. You know, I don't like to miss a meal. How about you? And if we won't miss a meal for our flesh, why should it be any different for our spirit man? You know, we need an appetite that says, Lord, I want more. Lord, I want more. What do You have for me today? Because I need more. I need to be refilled today. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit would do. I want us to to stand if you can. And I just want to pray over you for this new year. And then you have some questions we can explore and look at. So let's just bow before the Lord. Father, I thank you for this season that we're in. And I pray, Father, right now as we come before you and as we look inside, Lord, what you would have us to do for this new year. Lord, we want to commit to something that is significant and would have an impact on our lives to affect the kingdom. And Lord, I can't think of anything more impacting than your words impacting my mind and changing me. Lord, I'm praying that you'd give us an appetite for your word. I'm praying that you would transform us by the renewing of our mind in your precious word. Lord, I'm asking that you would help us to fill the reservoir of oil by your Spirit so that we would be in it for the long haul, so that we would have at our disposal your ready answer on our lips, because we have a reservoir of oil that is your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would be so determined to find our place in the secret place, to get alone with you, to get that oil. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to carve out a habit, a routine, that we would meet with you, and it would be the most precious part of our day. Lord, we pledge ourselves to you. We give you our bodies. We give you the members of our body. We give you our mind and our thought life. In the name of Jesus, we give it as an offering to you. Lord, would you receive honor and worship by our offering to you? And would you fill us with your truth to overflowing? I pray this in Jesus' name. And if this is your prayer, say amen.
Amen.
Amen.